hope and prayer is that this will become a place where you feel like you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. And we be such a community to one another, and we have such love for one another that people go, there's something different about you, and whatever it is, I want it. And may they find it. The relationship with God, the relationship with others. God's highest calling in your life is to be planted in the church, to be the church, to be a light going out into the darkness, to be someone who's not worried about a destination, but a transformation.
Range, how are you tonight? We are hosting live from the Ministry Center in beautiful, glorious downtown Castle Rock. I am Jeff Surratt. Do you still want to be introduced as Anastasia Beaverhausen?
No, no.
That's what you said right after we went on.
No.
All right. Well, Sherry. Then we'll go with Sherry. You said Anastasia. Hey, what's up, Rob? Good to see you, Rob. You're at Church Online. Brandon is on with us. Brady, I was going to say Roll Tide. I can't even say it. I can't make it come out of my face. We're excited to be here tonight, aren't we?
We are. Jacob's here.
Jacob.
Cece's here.
Cece.
Lots of people. Yeah.
Hey, this is a big night tonight. It is. We're doing, over the last 2 months, everything's different. Every time we're doing something new, we're hosting live, which we've been doing for a few weeks. But I think I've heard a rumor that Ernest Smith is going to speak live tonight.
What?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Ernest, are you live?
Oh, look, he's right there. are you live?
I thought I was live hosting.
No, you're not live. That's
what
we're doing.
That.
You're speaking live, man.
Go get your message ready.
You got like 4 minutes. Like, uh-oh. Seriously. Oh. Okay. So, sermon's going to be interesting. Sherry, there's some other stuff coming up. What's coming up?
Oh, my gosh. This weekend is a great message by Pastor Ernest. Next weekend.
Be a way better message.
Next weekend is going to be a great message, too. And we're back at the fairgrounds for the drive-in service, which that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a blast, wasn't it? I mean, sitting in our car looking out, I don't know how many of you guys were there. Love for you to throw in the chat if you were there, just say hi. But looking out, it felt like Red Rocks. It felt like being at a Red Rocks concert. We could see the mountains. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So we're doing that next weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend.
Next weekend we'll do that. And it's going to be so much fun. Bring your kids. We'll have stuff for your kids to do in the car during the message time.
Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then Sunday night, next weekend, not this weekend, we're doing a family movie night at the fairgrounds.
Drive-in
again.
Movie. Yeah, we're going to have a
Which
huge...
Isn't that cool?
Oh, so cool. It's going to be a huge LED screen. You're going to be able to... We don't have to wait till the sun goes down at 9 o'clock at night. We're going to be able to do it at 6 o'clock.
That's right. Bring some popcorn.
So what...
Something to drink for the kids.
So what movie do you think they're going to show?
I'm wondering if they're going to show the Pixar movie that always makes you cry.
Shut up.
Yeah.
We don't
in
have
fact,
to...
There's two of them that make you cry.
There's a lot of them that make me cry, and we don't have to get into that right here before we have church.
Well, you cry at sidewalk
And by
boards.
Shut up, I mean yeah. in a loving way. Please don't say that in front of my friends. Yeah. So
yeah.
we're getting ready.
Yeah.
We're getting ready. This is fun. It's so fun to be online with you. Grace is with us, and Brandon's still here. Rob's here. So much fun to be with you guys live online. We really are excited about having Ernest. He's standing right there. He's going to be speaking live tonight. I've heard a little preview of the message, a powerful message as we continue that series on five women that changed the world. Right now we're getting ready to get into worship. We encourage you, however worship is comfortable for you. Some of you, it might be you're at home maybe with your family and maybe you can sing out loud, or maybe you've invited some other friends in, you're with your small group and you guys can sing together, or even if you just want to sit and just enjoy the worship. It's the same setting that we've used a few times, beautiful outdoor setting. And so we're going to, right now, let's just dive into worship.
I am weary from the waves crashing over every day. God of mercy, please come rescue me. And I am longing for your voice. tell me everything's all right. The air, your power, your presence breaks strongholds, King of heaven, when you speak, mountains move. I believe there will be breakthrough. Yeah. Oh, I know it, I know it. You are moving, God. You alone can take my scars, piece by piece, restore my heart. Take what's broken, make it whole again. Whoa, your power, your presence brings strongholds. King of heaven, when you speak, mountains move.
Break the walls apart, open the heavens. Almighty God, you are overcomer, defender of my heart. By your power, the oceans open wide. Your fire falls down, heaven and earth collide. King Jesus, forever by my side.
Shake the mountains, yeah. Shake the mountains. Break the walls apart. Open the heavens. Almighty God, you are overcomer, defender of my heart.
That worship song and that setting.
Thanks,
it's amazing. It's amazing. One of the things I love that we're doing right now in this season is we just love giving to our community. And one of the ways that we're giving to the community, for every time you share this service on social media, Facebook, or wherever you're watching, every time you share it, we see it. And we give $5 away to our community based on every single share. So
that is really cool. So just by sharing, you're a catalyst for giving $5 away to someone who needs it. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And we've actually given away quite a bit over the last season.
Yeah, you know, I'm so proud of our church because you've heard us mention this before, but we've given away several thousand dollars directly to people who are in need at this time. And that's in addition to tens of thousands of meals that we've given out.
You know, it's been amazing. I mean, we've mentioned it several times, but the generosity of the people at Front Range, especially toward your church, toward your community, really, it's been amazing. It really has.
Yeah, we would, you know, we say Front Range, but really when we say that, we mean you.
Yeah.
You've given that.
So there's a couple of ways that you can give. You can text the word Front Range, one word, Front Range, to 77977, and you can text that and then give that way. The way Sherry and I give, we give regularly, and we set it up through going to frontrange.org/give, and we set up our giving regularly online. But we just want to say we are so thankful for your generosity and the ways we've been able to impact our community.
That's right. And, you know, we mentioned that next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, we're having the family movie night, which is going to be so fun for the whole family.
Right.
You know, moms and dads, you're going to want to bring popcorn and drinks and all that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. We don't know yet what movie is going to be shown.
Yeah, I asked Pastor Jen this afternoon, and she wouldn't unveil it for me. So
there's so many great family movies that it could be.
So
yeah,
I would love for it to be a Pixar movie. If it's a Pixar movie,
yeah,
which Pixar movie should it be?
Okay, if I was choosing, I would say Monsters, Inc.
Unbelievable. It's not even the top 10. Monsters, Inc. is not in the top 10. No, no. The best Pixar movie of all time. I'm getting a little teared up right now.
Oh, here he goes.
It's Toy Story 2.
Wrong.
It is. When they sing Jesse's song, come on. Big old tears.
That's when he
big
cries.
Big old tears. All right.
Yeah.
Here's what we want you to do. Our Pastor Ernest is coming live. He was yelling from the bleachers a while ago. Pastor Ernest, come and speak live in just a minute. In the chat, if you're on one of the chat platforms or just among your family, you tell us, what do you think, which movie, and it doesn't have to be Pixar, but which movie should we show next weekend for the drive-in movie?
Talk Monsters, Inc.
It's Toy Story 2. Talk among yourselves.
Welcome to Front Range. My name is Ernest Smith. I'm the lead pastor, and we're so grateful that you're with us. Man, if this is your first time here, I especially want to say thank you. Our hope and prayer is that this become a place where you could build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. And I'm so excited to be back kind of live preaching, even though there's only 10 of us here in the ministry center. I want to give a shout out to those of you who are doing Front Range at home, or maybe you're doing Front Range in homes, or you're watching with some friends. Give a shout out to Ann and to Rob and to Cece and different people who are watching right now. Now, if you didn't know, I'm a huge sports fan. And one of my favorite sports that I love to play and to watch is basketball. And, you know, that went poorly. I love basketball. Oh, man, I don't know how I'm going to recover. And if you're a sports fan, COVID-19 has really hampered your sports watching ability. In fact, Pastor Brandon told me this week that he was watching a 10-year-old handball match the other day. That's like how depressed his soul is right now when it comes to sports. And something that's really helped me during this time to kind of get my sports fix is watching the documentary, The Last Dance. It's about the 97-98 Chicago Bulls and the true GOATs, Michael Jordan. And I was watching episode 6 the other day. It brought up some really painful memories. It brought up probably the worst basketball season that I remember as a child. The season was 1992-93, and the team that had the best record in the NBA was who? You're probably saying the Bulls. It wasn't the Bulls. It was the Phoenix Suns. Now, the Phoenix Suns had the best record. They also had a killer squad. I mean, it was Charles Barkley and Dan Majerle and Danny Ainge and a lot of different guys that were on that squad. And some of you may be thinking, Ernest, how were you a Suns fan? I mean, that was my team back in the day. How were you a Suns fan? Well, when I started playing basketball as a little kid, there were kind of two main things about me at that point in time. One, I was incredibly heavy because I liked eating Little Debbie cakes. So I was a big kid, and then I was very aggressive. I would push kids into the wall. I would foul out of almost every game, and I was 8 years old. I don't even think they actually took fouls, like kept track of fouls, but they did with me. And so if you know anything about Charles Barkley, he was a heavy guy, and he was very aggressive, so my nickname became Charles Barkley. So I just fell in love with the Suns. And so the Suns have the best record. They go up against Michael Jordan. And even though Charles Barkley was an MVP, like Michael Jordan did to a lot of good players and a lot of good teams, he destroyed them. And that episode reminded me that I was on the wrong side of history. It brought up this like pain and this hurt. And I wonder, it made me wonder, have you ever thought that you were on the wrong side of what God was doing? Have you ever wondered if you were on the wrong side of what God is trying to do in the world? For example, last week I talked about how God can turn graves into gardens, how God could take, you know, the death in our life and turn it into something beautiful and something hopeful. And for some of us, we may be thinking, Ernest, that's great that God can do that. But honestly, I just wish that God would skip the whole graves part and just give me gardens, just give me good things in my life. Because when we think, man, if God is good and faithful, then why is this happening in my life? If God is good and faithful, then why is this? Why is my business in shambles? Why did this person get sick and maybe pass away? Why is this happening in this relationship? If God is so good, Ernest, then maybe what he's doing in this world, maybe what he's doing in the world around me is happening over here. And I'm just on the wrong side of God's story. And when we begin to think that maybe we're on the wrong side of what God is doing, the wrong side of his story, we begin to wonder, does God even see me? Does God even care? Have you ever thought that maybe you're on the outside or maybe the wrong side of God's story? I think we all have. And the lady that we're going to look at today, she definitely must have felt that way. Today, we're continuing a series we started a couple weeks ago called the Five Women Who Changed the World. And we're looking at five women that are mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. These women, their names in Jesus' genealogy would have been scandalous because at that time of day and in Jesus' time period, the women were not mentioned in Jewish men's genealogy. And so their very names would have brought to mind scandalous acts, scandalous people. And yet God includes them in there for a reason. And it's, I believe, to teach us something about our own lives and most importantly about God. And the person that we're talking about today, her name is Rahab, and she's probably the most unlikely person to be in Jesus' genealogy. Not only was she a woman, but she was a Canaanite, and that meant that she was a non-Jewish. She was of a different people group. And not only that, not only was she a woman and a Canaanite, but she was a prostitute. Rahab is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, but her story is found in Joshua chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't have a Bible, man, download the Bible app. It's a great place to be able to read and to study God's word, or you can fill out the Connect card, and we'd love to send you one this week. But at this point, the people of Israel, they've crossed the Jordan River into the land that God had promised them, but there's a problem. It's their enemies are occupying that land. And so that's where we pick up with the story, Joshua chapter 2. It says this, "Now, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there." Now, many of you may think that you know why these men went to a prostitute's house, but we don't actually know. In fact, most scholars would say they went there because that was the least likely place for them to be found if they're trying to spy out this new land. Well, the king does hearing that they're there somewhere, so they go to the prostitute's house, and they say, hey, where are these guys that were visiting earlier? And Rahab, she lies to them. She was like, well, they're not here anymore. In fact, they just left. They're just down the road. If you'll hurry up, you'll be able to catch them. And she's just really playing this game of cat and mouse with the king. I mean, imagine the danger she's putting herself in. that she's lying to the king. She's putting herself against her own people, against her own king. She's putting her life completely in danger. Why? Well, let's take a look. Go to verse 8. It says, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and to Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now, this may not sound like a big deal, but what she just said is huge. You see, back in the ancient times, it wasn't uncommon for a people group to believe in many different gods. They believed that there was a god over the rain and over the sun, and a god over fertility and a god over the crops. There was a god really for kind of everything. But here, Rahab is saying that your God is the God. She's saying there's something different about you, and there's something different about your God. Rahab is beginning to understand that something different is going on here. She's actually beginning to realize this truth, that she's not only on the outside of the salvation story, Rahab's on the wrong side of the salvation story. And Rahab's not only on the outside of the salvation story, she's on the wrong side of the salvation story. She's not just missing out on what God is doing because she's a part of a different nation, but she's on the wrong side of it because she's one of the enemies of God. And yet this is the beauty of her story, the beauty of God's story, that even when we're on the outside, even when we're on the wrong side of God's story, he's still pursuing us. He's always pursuing us. Take a look at what she does. Verse 12 says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. She makes them swear an oath because she understands that if they break that oath, that God will punish them. And so she's again showing her faith. That this God that her people don't even worship, that she's placing her faith in this God, that he is going to come through in this time, that he is going to show up and he's going to save her. Verse 17, now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. So she sends them away and she ties this scarlet cord, this red cord out the window. And now when Joshua and the rest of the crew come, how are they going to respond? Are they going to honor the oath that these spies had made to Rahab? Imagine what Rahab must be thinking. She sees the army of the Israelites coming. She must be thinking, man, are they going to keep to their word? Are they going to save me and my people? We'll take a look a few chapters later in Joshua chapter 6. Here's what we read. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. She lives among the Israelites to this day. So not only did Joshua spare Rahab, but she became a part of the community. In fact, at the time of the writing of this book that we call Joshua, that she was not just still saved and still living, but she was integrated into the community. She had become one of them. So much so that she's mentioned multiple times in the New Testament. She's mentioned in Jesus' genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. She's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, where we're told this, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And then in James, we're told this, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. So we're told in one place it was Rahab's faith that saved her, and we're told in another place that it was what Rahab did, it was her actions that saved her. And there's many times in the church world that people have this hard time of wrestling with faith and works, and yet the Bible very clearly here says that in her story, in this one woman's story, that there's this unity of faith and works. That if you have faith, if you believe in God, it will be followed by action. It will be followed by works. What the Bible is saying here is that if you say that you believe, then it must be followed by what you do. What we see in Rahab's story is that when you demonstrate a faith, even a mustard seed type of faith, that it's really demonstrating a loyalty to God. Or maybe to say it a different way, that Rahab demonstrated a loyalty that brings together both faith and works. Rahab's entire story is one of loyalty, a loyalty that God has for his people, a loyalty that when you and I have toward God, that it results in a belief and a faith and in what we do in our works. And it's fascinating that the Bible uses the title Rahab the prostitute almost every time it talks about her. Because it's what it's doing is reminding us that Rahab, who once participated in the infidelity of others, is now in this story participating in the fidelity of God, the loyalty to God and his people. And there's something about Rahab's story that's supposed to make us stop and remember grace. I mean, what does she tie outside her window as a sign of loyalty? Yeah, a scarlet red cord. And if you're a Christ follower, you might think, oh, red, well, that represents the blood of Jesus. And you're right, but we have to understand the story and the context in which it was written. And in the Old Testament, when the people would have known that, man, she tied a scarlet cord outside of her window, it didn't represent Christ coming, because that wasn't their mentality yet. It represented something different. It represented the Passover. The Passover is what started this entire story. The people are slaves in Egypt, and Pharaoh won't let them go. And so God sends an angel of death. And God tells the people of Israel, hey, I want you to put the blood of a lamb over your door. And everyone who does that, the angel of death is going to pass over that house, sparing everyone inside. God saves them. The Jewish people were used to associating God's deliverance with something red outside of the house. Except that at Passover, God is rescuing Israel. And here, God is rescuing a Canaanite woman who was a prostitute. They must have been thinking, hold on, God, what are you doing? Like, the red, the blood of the lamb is for us. You're supposed to save us. And it's almost like God saying, but remember when I called Abraham? Remember when I told Abraham that I was going to bless all the nations, all people? It's like God is trying to use Rahab's story to show that his generosity, his love, his salvation is for all of us. It's not just for the Jewish people, but it's for this Canaanite woman who was a prostitute. His salvation, his generosity, his love is for you and I. Rahab's act of loyalty and faith gets met with God's heart of generosity and grace. And here's the reality, all of us are like Rahab. All of us at some point were on the outside or the wrong side of God's salvation. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, we're told that all of us were enemies of God at one point. And yet, despite our sin, Christ died for us. That's God's great love. It's God displaying time after time after time that he loves you and I, that he displayed that love when he told this woman to put this red cord outside of her house, and he displayed that love when he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross. Time after time after time, God is saying, I love you, and I will pursue you at all costs. And I don't know where you stand in your faith today. Maybe for some of you, you've lost faith. Maybe for some of you, you've never placed your faith in Jesus. Maybe for others of you, you did, and you've kind of walked away from that. Maybe for others, you're like, man, I would love to, but there's just so many doubts. There's so many questions. And God is saying today, take this scarlet cord and hang it out your window. How do you do that? How do you literally do that? Well, you choose to place your faith in Jesus Christ and take action on that. I mean, here's the reality. You're probably not going to get all your questions answered. You're still probably going to have some doubts, but that's faith. Faith is trusting in a loving God who loved you enough to die for you. So how do you tie a scarlet cord outside your window of your house? You don't have to literally do that. For some of you right now, you might be watching on live.frontrange.org, and we're going to put up a little banner that says, I want to commit my life to Christ today. And you could just check on that. Or maybe better, text the word follow to 720-797-8600. Let me repeat that. Text the word follow to 720-797-8600, and that's you saying, man, I want to follow Jesus. I may not have it all together. I don't have all the answers. I still have some doubts. And God is saying, just come. Just come to me. Maybe for others of us, we're followers of Christ, but if we're going to be real honest, man, we've stopped believing that God can do something in an area of our life. Maybe we prayed for it for a season, but we just didn't see God come through for us in that way. And so we've just kind of given up. We've kind of lost hope or lost faith. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in healing. Maybe it's in God. We've just been praying for God to just show up in a special way, and he hasn't. We've just said, man, I don't know if God can. And so are you willing to take action on your belief today that the God of the universe loves you and he is faithful and he is strong? Maybe for some of you, if you're lacking in your faith right now, maybe your next step, you're tying the scarlet cord outside your window is you choosing to, you know, today, hey, I'm going to read the Bible. Or this week, I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to start praying. Or maybe if it's in a relationship, maybe you've been hurt, or maybe there's a strain in a relationship. Maybe your next step is to call a counselor and to set an appointment. Maybe it's to text someone and to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm sorry for this thing that I did. Or maybe it's choosing to give financially to the church and just trusting God with what he's given to you and that he's going to continue to provide for you. If that's you today, and you're kind of feeling alone, you're kind of feeling like, man, I'm on the wrong side of the story. My God hasn't been moving in my life. I don't feel like God has shown up. I believe the word that God wants to say to you is that he is still in control. That our God, no matter the circumstances that you face right now, even when life seems completely out of control, even when you feel like you don't have a grasp on anything going on, God is saying, I'm still in control. And I want to take a moment and just allow us to reflect on that truth. In fact, our worship and creative team, they created an incredible project that just reminds us of this truth, that God is still in control. In this moment, I want you to watch this, and I pray you'll be blessed. So take a look.
How can I say it is well when my voice can barely speak? How can I sing you a song in the midst of suffering? Jesus, will you meet me here? Let your peace wash over me. I need you now more than ever. Teach my soul to sing.
My God is still in control, and still he reigns on his throne. Though mountains may tremble and sea billows roll, I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control.
Cause you have not left me alone, though the world has let me down. All of my sorrow and pain, I will trade it for. Thank you. stay with me when the night is closing in. Whatever my life, you are still God. I will see again.
My God is still in control, and still He reigns on His throne. Though mountains may tremble and sea billows roll, I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control.
Powerful video and reminder that God is still in control. You know, Rahab showed her loyalty to this God that she had only heard about by combining her faith and her actions. And Rahab took the small step of faith that would eventually not only just change her life, but change her entire eternity and future generations. So may our actions today demonstrate the faith that we long to have. And may the God of the universe meet us with grace and generosity. And may we discover that we're not on the wrong side. We're not on the outside of God's story, but we're right in the midst of what He's choosing to do. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and I thank You so much for Your word. God, I thank You for including these five women in Jesus' genealogy so we can learn so much about not just their story, but about who You are, God. That You are God who pursues us no matter what we've done, no matter our titles, no matter what others think of us, no matter the mistakes of our past, You continue to pursue us. And You showed that pursuit by saving this Canaanite woman who was a prostitute. So God, I thank You that You can save us. Father, I don't know where each person is, but I believe there are some of us that are watching right now, Father, if we're being real honest, man, we feel like we're on the outside of your story. We feel like we're on the wrong side of this salvation story. But today, God, we want to give our lives over to You. We want to commit our lives to You right now. And Father, for others of us, we've committed our life to You, but maybe we've just kind of given up faith in an area of our life. I pray that today, God, You would tell us what our action step is. What are we to do to show that we believe? To show that we have faith that you are good, merciful, powerful, faithful God. Whatever you tell us to do, Father, may we do it with boldness and courage. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a time here at Front Range. We're going to give you a chance to respond to whatever God may be saying to you. And we do that by encouraging you to ask two questions. Number one, what's God saying to me? And number two, what am I going to do about it? And as you ask that first question, God, what are you saying to me? There's multiple ways that you can respond. You can respond right now by grabbing some bread and some juice. And it's a time where we take communion together. And the bread represents the body of Christ broken for you. And the juice represents the blood of Christ shed for you. And you could take that right there in your own home. It's just an opportunity to remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us, that while we were on the outside of God's salvation story, Christ died for us. I mean, maybe you need prayer right now. And maybe you've been in a dark season, a time where you feel like, man, what God is doing in the world is over here and I'm over here. And if you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you right now. If you're on live.frontrange.org, you can click on the button that says live prayer. Or on any of our platforms, just type in what you need prayer for. And we'll pray for you right now. We'll pray for you right now to let you know that you're not alone. And we're with you in this. There's other things that you can do as well as a type of response. If God is telling you to do something, take action now. If it's setting up an appointment with a counselor, take action now. If it's texting someone, hey, I'm sorry for this, text them now. Take action now. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? Let's worship together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning, that seal the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hey, what a great weekend service. I love that. Man, that new song with the compilation video.
Oh, that was so cool.
That was so cool. Great message by Ernest. Ernest, you good?
I'm all right.
All right. Good. We were worried about Ernest. He's doing great. That's awesome. Great service. Hey, just a quick reminder, a couple things coming up. Not this weekend, but next weekend. We're doing a drive-in service again, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Douglas County Fairgrounds. And then that night, come back again, 6 o'clock. Bring the kids. Bring popcorn. What else would you have besides popcorn at a movie?
Yeah, oh, maybe something to drink.
No, best thing to eat, like chocolate covered raisins.
There right? you go. Right? Yeah, something chocolate.
You don't even like chocolate covered raisins.
Yeah, I like chocolate covered anything. Yeah.
So that's next weekend, the drive-in movie and the drive-in service.
Yeah, and thanks so much for joining us. This has been such a great time together. And as we close, let's read our Front Range blessing. Here we go. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say.
Absolutely. Hey, stick around. We're going to be in the lobby. If you're in one of the chat platforms, just click on the link. Brandon's going to be in there. I'm going to pop in there for a minute. But thanks for coming. See you next week.